Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
The Last Kids on Earth and their superhero alter egos are back in the latest installment of the graphic novel spinoff series, The Last Comics on Earth, Too Many Villains. Jack, June, Quint, and Dirk face their biggest challenge yet, creating the sequel to their hit graphic novel in a mad dash, puzzle-filled race across Apocalyptia to stop the biggest evil plan in history. Hey, you know what the creators of Last Comics on Earth's evil plan is? Make me and my kids love these books. Seriously, my younger kid is a huge fan of both the Last Kids series and the Last Comic series.
It's true.
And now I'm hooked too. The whole team has created a delightful cast of characters with some fantastic kid-friendly art throughout that will appeal to readers of all ages. Buy your copy of The Last Comics on Earth in stores today. You can also visit lastkidsonearth.com to learn more.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are coming to you live from a couple of places on the internet. We are live over on Crowdcast. We're live over on YouTube, or maybe YouTube. Listening to us later, wherever YouTube. You get your podcasts. Wherever that's going on, it's all good, all together now in the hood.
It's
We're
good.
Just excited to have you here. Now, before we get into the show proper, and we have some great guests for you this evening, I wanted to give a plug, as we've been doing for many, many weeks here, for our friend Brett Macris, a.k.a. Stray Bullet, and I messed up.
Sorry.
Is what happened. It's all right. It's all right, man. I think we're going to recover
for
from
years.
This. Yeah. New to me.
I'd like
New
to thank my mom and dad for raising me.
In any case, he's occasionally been curating some drinks for us and occasionally creating them because he is a professional chef. This is a true fact. And this week he found a terrible drink on TikTok.
Yeah, which was the home of terrible drinks.
Oh, boy. Yes, but it was a May the 4th. Day drink, I think, was the idea. So
it was
remind
called
me,
the Darth, I believe. Or no, it's called the Vader.
The Vader. So it was, you put black food coloring in
and
a shot
black
glass.
Black rum in a shot glass. You Delicious. Flip it upside down in your glass. So the dark rum is sort of trapped in the shot glass. Pour in the bad recipe, Sprite, and then cherry liqueur or cherry cordial liqueur, something on top of it.
So the two of you worked together to come up with something better.
I threw out a recipe. I was like, forget that drink. That drink will give you sugar shock instantly. I said, let's do dark rum, ginger beer, a little Aperol on top. And what you got there, and he added the Averna to give a little more spice. The Darth and Stormy, which is a much better bev.
Yeah, so there you go. Right. Ooh, are you making yours right now? I'm going to pop out of the recipe. Oh. So yeah, you got the shot glass, so it looks like Darth Vader in his chamber from Star Wars, except it's more alcoholic. I made mine upstairs. I was a little worried about pulling out the shot glass over my laptop. Do you want to do the effect, Justin? You want to pull out the shot glass?
I find your lack of alcohol disappointing.
Whoa.
And I love that you get the surface pressure at the end. So the shot hangs there for a second before it pours into the thing. This is a great drink. This is a really good drink.
Yeah, I'm psyched about it. If you didn't get to see the beginning, I'll be doing it again halfway through the show.
But yes, there you go. That is all in our Patreon Slack as well. Patreon.com/comicbookclub. Great discussions there. Drink making. Lots of talk about Doctor Strange 2 going on today. Lots of furious debates. Spoiler heavy debates that I'm sure we'll get into a little later in the show, as well as the old Moon Knight show that we'll probably be talking about later as well. But I don't want to delay too much. We got two great guests this evening. Later on in the show, we're going to bring a returning guest, Ibrahim Mustafa, is going to be here. But first, why don't we bring in our first guest, Miss S, here into the stream.
Serena Sanchez to talk about her new book that is on Indiegogo, Black Rhapsody. Hello, here, you want to, here, I'll turn off your video. No, I can't turn off your video. There you go. You figured it out.
That was great.
Serena, welcome to the stream. Thanks so much for coming on tonight.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh my gosh, totally. So yeah. This book looks super fun. You launched it on Indiegogo. Right now it is 96% funded.
Oh, so close. Oh,
get after
so
it.
So close. I'll bring up a little picture of it here. But this is called Black Rhapsody. It's on Indiegogo right now. Serena, tell us about the idea. What is the pitch for the book?
Black Rhapsody is a horror cult thriller comic that's about musical magical girls named after mythological goddesses in an uphill battle against a Lovecraftian pop star and her evil music empire. Take the darkness of Madoka Magica and combines it with the ultra violence of Berserk with a bit of gem in the hologram sprinkled in.
Nice. Yes,
I love nice. A little bit of gem in there.
Oh, yeah. That's a great sprinkle.
Yeah. Well, this is a great looking book. Talk a little bit about the inspiration here. Like, you gave the pitch, but there's a lot of monster stuff going on. As you mentioned, there's a lot of music stuff going on. Where did it start with? Did it start with the idea of doing like a sort of a magical girl book? Were you more interested in the music? Was it just to create a comic? What was the initial germ of inspiration?
I was a magical girl book because I always wanted to do my own take on magical girls. I've been a fan of them since I was a kid. I'm a huge Sailor Moon fan and recently nice. I'm a Madoka fan. I wanted to do a dark take on it, so I decided to find like darker inspirations such as Berserk, H.P. Lovecraft, and numerous other works. But I chose the music theme because I wanted to give my book a theme. Every magical girl story has a bit of a theme. Sailor Moon has the planetary theme. Tokyo Mew Mew has the environmentalist animal theme. So I wanted to choose a theme that might attract people, so I chose music. But I kind of did my own twist. Instead of having like the cutesy J-pop idol music, which I hate, I decided to diversify it by making characters embodiments of certain genres.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Well, talk about the musical inspiration then. Is there stuff that you listen to while you're creating this? Are there things that you're specifically... Oh my gosh. All right. Okay.
Stop doing yeah, that. Why don't you... Yeah, yeah,
achi, yeah, there you go. There you go. Oh, there we go. All right. People
is
listening. There seems to be some not safe for work stuff going on there as well in this Indiegogo. Yeah. Which is all good.
We're not at work right now. We can get into
this.
You guys
get paid for this, right?
If you don't know, we don't.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about the musical inspiration behind this. Were there different genres you were looking at? Is there music that you listen to while you're creating it?
I don't listen to music when I write due to the fact that I get distracted easily. But when it comes to like the character designs and the characters themselves, I had to do research of different genres as well as different mythological figures. If you were to break up the cover art of the girl with the dark outfit and the purple hair on the other side.
Yeah, that's where it's split.
Yeah, the split cover image. That's the main character of the book, Alethea Mahalia, on the left. And on the right is her magical girl counterpart, Hecate. If you know anything about Greek mythology, Hecate is the Greek goddess of ghosts, magic, the moon, and witchcraft. So, particular goddess, what genre was she embody? Had to be a goth genre due to the fact that, again, she's a Chthonic goddess. And most Chthonic goddesses tend to be, like, always clad in black. So for Hecate, I had to choose one that was very, like, atmospheric and ghostly, and I chose ethereal wave for her. So she embodies ethereal wave. And throughout the story, you're going to see different girls based on certain goddesses embody different genres. For example, I have like a character based on a Japanese ice dragon god who embodies death metal.
And he's cool. One,
and another one based on Afro soul, who is based on an African nature goddess.
Cool.
Nice.
Did you ever work in the music industry, or how did you research sort of that that side of it. Inspiration.
I never worked in the music industry, but I had to do a lot of research for this book because I'm not familiar with genres outside of pop, electronic, hip hop, rock. So I found music genres that I didn't even know existed.
Nice, cool.
And talk a little bit about the Indiegogo. Obviously, we're looking at here on the live stream, but for anybody listening to the podcast, what are the perks people potentially can get? What are you, other than obviously the book, what can people pledge for?
I have a feature tier that encompasses all the other tiers, plus a codex dandy of the main character, her magical girl counterpart, as that's it's inspired by the cover art that you're seeing. Is still in the works at the moment. You could get a digital PDF of the book if you are low on money or don't want to deal with international shipping. There's also a tier with books and with the physical copy of the book, as well as a cover, a poster of the Virgin cover art, as well as the two pinup prints.
Well, that's awesome. So this is going on for almost another month at this point. Fingers crossed, it looks like you're pretty close to being successful. Do you have stretch goals prepped at this point? Do you have the stuff ready, or is that premature?
I do have stretch goals prepped for it. One of the first stretch goals is going to be like a variant cover, a mystery variant cover with, as you saw before, the Not Safe for Work pinup paired with it, which is going to be included in the feature tier once it's unlocked. Another tier at around 8,000, it's a colored version of the book. So there's going to be a version of the book that's going to be, instead of black and white, it's going to be in fully colored.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
Nice. And other than the Indiegogo, of course, if people can check out Black Rhapsody Part 1 there. Where else should people check you out online?
You can check me out on Twitter at MagicAlmedia. I'm active there.
Cool.
Awesome. Nice. Serena, thank you so much for coming on. Good luck with the project, though. It looks like you won't need it, but great chatting
with you. Right on the edge.
Yeah. Right on the edge.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you. I really...
All right. Cool. There you go. Once again, that was Serena Sanchez. The project is called Black Rhapsody Part 1. It's on Indiegogo right now, and you can check it out. Super fun art there, and always love a good project that involves music. Why don't we bring in our second guest now? He is a returning guest. It's nice to have him back here on the show to talk about his new book, Retroactive, which is out now, I believe. Should be coming into the stream any second now. There we go.
What's up,
Hello.
Guys?
Hey, good seeing you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
Oh my gosh, thanks for coming on. So Retroactive is just out two weeks now, is that right?
Yeah, it was the 26th when it came out of April. All right. So yeah, about 2 weeks.
Okay,
yeah. Nice. Well,
this project is awesome. We had you on previously to talk about Count, I believe.
Yes.
Now you're back to talk about this one. So one a year. You get one a year.
Yeah.
That's definitely like...
I'm trying to keep the... And real quick, I was trying to think of a Star Wars drink. This is just coffee, but I was thinking my Mason Jar Jar drinks.
Oh, I like it.
Misa like that.
Oh, come on, man.
Sorry.
Sounds racist.
I am also wearing a shirt. Just put
that on. Wow.
Right. That's great. Right. Nice job.
Four of a kind.
Man, you get how to talk to us. That's really cool. You're speaking our language.
So this project is very cool. It is nothing like Count, the last thing we talked to you about. This is a time travel thriller, mystery, mind bender, I guess. Do you want to talk about the pitch for this one a little bit?
Yeah, so my elevator pitch for it is James Bond meets Groundhog Day. Okay. So it's like it's a sci-fi thriller. You know, it's like there's a time travel organization, like the CIA of time travel, essentially. And they go back and essentially try to keep the timeline intact, right? So like, for example, you know, Russia might go back to an event in the US's history to try to alter things for their own benefit in the future. Oh, and so the BTA, this group, they go back and stop that from happening, right?
Boo, yeah,
so, and one of the basically they go to track down an anomaly that's showing up in the timeline. And that leads the main character to being stuck in a time loop And so he has to kind of figure his way out of it and then try to, you know, save the day once he's able to break the loop. So
it's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm usually better at explaining it, but yeah,
no, I get it. I feel like last time your book was Count, based on Count of Monte Cristo, you were like, well, I don't want to read another 1,000 pages novel
right.
for this next one. I'm going to do something fresh off the top.
Well, but that said, though, you're dealing with multiple timelines. You're dealing with multiple time periods. What was it like planning something like this out?
It was really challenging. Yeah. Like, because I wanted to keep it concise and not too, you know, like time travel, timey-wimey. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I made very simple rules for the time travel and I stuck to them.
Smart.
Yeah. And, you know, the story is it's two congruent timelines sort of, and then they merge into one. So it's very clearly delineated as you read. So I think it's pretty easy to follow along. I kept thinking of that scene in Looper when Bruce Willis is like, nah, if we start talking about how it works,
we're
going to be making diagrams of straws and napkins and shit. We're going to be here all day. So I was trying to keep it nice and streamlined.
Well, smart. To that point then, are there... I don't know if you want to spoil this necessarily, but did you look to something previously for time travel rules, or do you feel like I always feel like there's this temptation when you're doing something like this, when you're doing time travel, when you're doing vampires or whatever, to be like, I got to do something entirely fresh and new. I got to completely innovate. So did you go in that direction, or did you just kind of like pull on, okay, this is Back to the Future rules. This is Looper rules.
It was a little bit of both. I wanted the time travel itself to be a more unique means of doing it, so I kept it pretty low tech. You know, instead of using just one thing to get, they kind of have to use this watch device and this chamber in tandem, and they can only go back to one point in the past and then return to the present, so there's no jumping through time. In multiple hops, because then you just get lost. When was that?
And you're not going to have it be like an Apple Watch where you got to have it constantly updating it to match
software updates. All right, I wasn't plugged in last night. Damn.
Can't time travel today. I didn't.
Right.
I didn't,
And then, but I also did some stuff that was kind of like, I don't want to say well worn, but the book opens in a very James Bond opening sequence kind of thing. And they're in Nazi-occupied France. So we're automatically, like, right off the bat, we're getting the question out of the way of, would you go back in time and kill Hitler, right?
Right.
So I wanted to kind of take those sort of time travel tropes and
get them off the board.
Yeah. And also in this, you get an explanation for why there's a time loop, which I think a lot of times in these, you know, stories that have that, they never really tell you what the deal is. Like, it's just kind of like Groundhog Day, it just stops. You know, I guess the universe is trying to teach him to love or whatever. Like, so this is like very specific. Here's how it works. Here's why, you know?
Cool. Well, first off, you talk about the James Bond and the stuff that we saw, the action looks bananas. It's really great. It's well captured in comic form. So congratulations on that.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. I really enjoy action stuff a lot, and I wanted to make it, you know, as Same-sies. Exciting and sort of I like a very cinematic action experience in comics, so I like to try to do it that way.
I don't know if this is answering a question that you answer in the book, but would you go back in time and kill Hitler?
Objection, asked and answered. No, I would. I probably would.
Good for
I
you.
Mean, in the book, I make a case for it, but there's like one person going, we should do it. Another person going, no, here's why you can't. That being said, we know how it worked out with him around. Let's see what happens without him.
That's fair. Oh, Justin is totally gone.
Yeah, so this he's is against that. Justin,
he was pretty upset just now. This is the second book that you've done with Humanoids. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So what's it been like working with them as a publisher? Obviously, I'm not looking for you to slab them. I'm just curious about what the process has been like.
Choose your words carefully. This is a classic Alex trap.
Mr. Humanoids himself on the other side of the street.
Yes. Dr. Jason Humanoids.
No, it's that's his name. How did you know? It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm familiar. It's great. Like I pretty much, you know, pitch them a book, and if they like it, then I do it. and that's kind of been, you know, the way it is. And
seems like a great system you have in place.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, that's not to say everything gets greenlit. Like, you know, there was, before I pitched Retroactive, I threw a couple ideas out to see sort of what they're, you know, what they were looking for next in terms of, you know, because a lot of times you're trying to see what they don't have. You know, oh, we got three of those already, so you don't want to do that book next, right, kind of thing. So. But yeah, you know, Mark Wade, who's been the publisher as I've been there, like, he is super supportive and just like
super nice, you
know, guy. Yeah, love great guy.
Comics and yes, really, I believes in the medium, and I think it seems that your work really shines in his eyes as well.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I've been really fortunate to have him like in my corner. So
yeah,
it's pretty huge.
You've also, this is the second graphic novel that you've done. Do you have any interest in doing monthly comics and doing floppies? Is that something you're looking to, or do you enjoy writing in this longer form?
You know, I love both of them. I have a series in mind that I want to do that is like, would, I mean, you could do it in a trade, but ultimately like every issue would be like a separate story within the same, you know, following a through line, similar to like what Michael Walsh is doing with the Silver Coin.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's a great
love
series.
That
yeah,
book.
So that's something, ooh, I'd really love to do. But I also really enjoy the sort of one and done nature of a collected, you know, a single graphic novel. It's kind of like watching a 2-hour movie, and then, you know, you get to reflect on the experience, and you're not going, wait, what happened last time? How did I, you know? So
the other thing that's probably different, and maybe it's not for you, but back when we were talking about Count, everything was closed down. Now comic conventions are starting to open up a little bit. There's a little more of the whole press tour thing going on. Is that something you're looking to embrace for Retroactive, potentially bringing it around to San Diego Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con, versus potentially what happened last year?
Yeah, you know, I'm honestly not like the biggest travel buff personally. Like, I, you know, like my wife and my dog are here, and I'm like, and all my stuff, you know, and it's kind of like,
where are you based?
I'm in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, that's a nice, it's a nice spot.
Yeah. So, I mean, I certainly, you know, I love getting to cons to see my friends and, you know, meet readers and stuff like that. So I do look forward to getting back into that. But yeah, I mean, I'm still sort of not, as we see like wave after wave of COVID and you know, mutated strands of it hitting, I'm like, yeah, my house is looking great right now. Like,
yeah, you don't want to be in an enclosed space with thousands of comic book fans for a weekend. I don't understand.
I mean, I do, as long as there's not like a virus going around.
There is sure nobody. Shout out! I had COVID last week. Last show, I got literally the show ended, and I was like, well, I'm sick now.
Oh,
and
no.
It was bad, but now I'm invincible. Nothing can kill me.
Yeah, I'm glad you're better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you left after the Hitler discussion. The very idea of people dying, like Hitler, for example, was upsetting to you. Too far?
Alex, I don't know if you're familiar with how COVID affects the body, but does it make you worry about Hitler?
Well, I don't know what to tell you. Now that you do have this book in the rearview mirror, though, or at least now that you're out there pushing it, are you working on a new project? Is there something else coming up that we potentially can look forward to?
Yeah, it's still, you know, pretty early to talk about, but I've still got my third book in my Humanoids contract that I've started work on. And then I have some other like work for hire irons in the fire that I'll get to play in some other people's sandboxes. Ooh. So I'm pretty excited about that. So it's all like writing stages at the moment. And I'm looking forward to getting pencil to paper soon. So
let me shout out your turn of phrase, work for hire irons in the fire. That's
bars, right?
Put that on the note right there.
We got a comment here over on YouTube from Tony Fleek, says Retroactive, excellent book. Ibrahim's YouTube channel, though, next level compelling content.
Oh, wow.
What is going on your YouTube channel?
So shouty. I make custom action figures and vehicles for them, and I started doing that on YouTube because like I'm already doing it anyway.
Is there something you can hold up that you got back there? What's up,
bro? Yeah, can I run away for half?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
No wonder you don't want to leave your house. Yeah. You're living a toy.
Yeah,
house.
Man,
you're living the dream.
Yeah. What if he comes back with something really bad and it's
what
really
do you think
embarrassing?
It's going
to
be like Gundam?
Something not safe for work, Alex. Like you're have
okay.
To...
All
right. So
I was not cool about that.
I know you were not.
I don't know how well they'll show up here, but this is
pearl clutching.
you know, considering what I was just talking about retroactive, I have got my
Phil
Connors from Groundhog Day.
Wow.
Phil?
For those
Phil
of you
Connors?
Yeah.
For those of you who can't see it, it's a legit Connors action figure from the movie Groundhog Day when he's delivering the news right before he gets stuck and punks it, Tommy. It's great.
He's got the coffee cup, and then
never
this one. I just finished this guy. We've got our Morgan Freeman
from
the Batman trilogy.
Oh, from
Batman. Wow, that's great. Nice.
That's really. The detail is beautiful.
Do you start with other figures? Do you build them from scratch? How does that work?
It kind of depends.
I'm staring into his soul. That's crazy.
I've like for Phil Connors, for example, I used a Ghost. So there's a brand called Mezco that makes these really great 6-inch action figures. They're almost like a little Hot Toys figure, and they made a line of Ghostbusters figure, so I managed to find a spare Bill Murray head, and then I repainted it. It doesn't really show up on this camera that well, I don't think, but I repainted it, and then I essentially, you know, cobbled together a bunch of different like clothing pieces from, you know, you can find them online. The suit, so the base body was a Joker, it was a knockoff version, so I got it for like $20 as opposed to like the $80 that the real figure costs. And then I painted the suit blue because it was purple. And I painted like a paisley pattern onto his tie, and then, you know, used hands from one figure. The microphone is from an April O'Neil. This is from
naturally.
And then the Morgan Freeman one, I used just a blank base body that you can get. And then clothing again that I cobbled together from various internet sources. I made the little bow tie out of another tie, like a traditional tie. I just kind of cut it and reattached it. And then the head was, I think it was probably a 3D print that I got on eBay. Mm-hmm. You can get like these blank heads. There are two different versions of them.
Wait, you're saying you can buy heads on the internet?
Yeah, shrunken
human,
ones,
human heads. If you
dark web, man. Dark web. You got to look into it.
You can get, so there are two ways. You know, a lot of people are 3D printing stuff nowadays because the technology is just so easy to get. And so I think the Morgan Freeman was a 3D printed head, but a lot of people, what they do is they'll actually take, well, not a lot of people, but select few will take like a Hot Toys, a Hot Toys scale head. And then they use a resin to make a mold out of it that as the cast cures, it shrinks by about half. And so they'll do that in a few stages. And eventually you get one that's like, you know, a 1/12 scale as opposed to 1/6 scale. So
that's so much work. I worked with resin once for a job, and it was so frustrating.
It really is, right?
It's insane to do that.
Yeah.
I've worked with resin before where you got to like scrape it out so it doesn't clog. You know, it's rough, dude.
Yeah. Well, it's tough. I mean, you gotta make little air holes. Oh, I see. I got you. Took me a second.
Don't be caught in my pizza.
You gotta like make air holes so that the bubbles can escape and it doesn't create like a divot in the side of the face or whatever. So I've sculpted a few heads from scratch and I've augmented ones I've already had. You know, to like I turned Ryan Gosling into Leon the Professional just because it was kind of like the right head structure, and I just had to like add clay onto it and all. So
another role that Ryan Gosling just disappeared into,
right? One of the greatest character actors of his generation.
He's amazing. He's amazing. And no one can tell.
How did you start doing this? When did you take that step into creating your own figures?
So there's a company called NECA that a lot of people are probably familiar with. They make really great figures, and they put out a line of 1990 movie Ninja Turtles. And it was the first time that anyone had made like movie accurate Ninja Turtles, right? Before when they went up, you know, there was an announcement that they were going to happen. And I was like, oh man, they might be really hard to get. They were like a San Diego exclusive, and you had to get up early and like get it online the same way you'd like register for a college class that fills up super quick or something like, and they only made 5,000 of them. So I wasn't sure if I was going to get on the list. So I decided, you know what, like I'm just going to make my own. I have these pretty decent turtle figures that I could use for the body. So I just sculpted the heads. And then from there I was like, you know what, I want a John Wick figure and there aren't any of those. So I took a Neo from the Matrix, like the old McFarlane toys, And I, you know, Dremeled the hair off and made the longer hair, and I painted a beard on him and found a body with a suit and stuff. Then, of course, you know, now there's five or six different John Wick figures you can get, which I have all of them, but yeah. Right. So yeah, that kind of sent me down the rabbit
hole. Do you just have like a room full of like figures and body parts and stuff like that where you're just
So I have got some stuff on my shelves right here.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Camera.
Come on, man.
Let me rotate this way. I don't know how well you'll be able to see, but these are
okay. Yeah, we can see a couple of shelves
And then I've got more down there. And
nerded.
It's crazy. The one nerded. Angle you have on you is like a pretty like chill.
Yeah, like I am a business professional.
And you're literally surrounded on all sides by homemade dope action figures.
Dude, they're everywhere I look.
So when you said you didn't really want to travel because of your wife and your dog, you meant your action figures.
Yeah,
right?
That's what you really
meant. I mean,
Daddy
you know
can't
what?
Leave his plastic children alone.
I'm such a like, I always have a project going, and it's hard to break away because it's like, I gotta, you know. I just finished, I'm editing a video today, but I took a... There was this fold-out toy that was a, it was a like a Batman Begins tumbler Batmobile, right? And it was like a case essentially that was shaped like the Batmobile, and you can open it up, and it's like inside is Gotham City, you know, like play as Batman and Scarecrow, right? One of those like toys.
Voiceover actor.
So, yeah, I got one for $20 online, and you know it's like a 20-year-old toy at this point. And I gutted the inside of it, and I basically like made like a fairly screen accurate tumbler out of it. Like I got rubber RC tires and rims for it. And you know, I made little like actuator, like air struts and stuff like that, and put LED lights in it. And, that's, and they, you know, there's only one company that makes that version of the Batmobile in a scale for smaller action figures. And it's like $500. And I was like, let me see what
I can
do with,
so
like,
if I go to your YouTube channel, I can see you make the bat tumbler.
Yeah, I actually have like a I'm working on part four now of like a four-part series where I show the entire build process.
Wow.
So
wow.
How close are you to exiting out of this show?
Yeah,
right now?
Just like, please do this. I gotta go check this out.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's a ton of fun, and it's something I do for fun anyway. So I'm like, well, why don't I just record some of it? And I, you know, people ask me when I post them, like, how did you make that? So now, you know,
that's amazing. What is the name of your YouTube channel so people can check it out?
Just my name, Ibrahim Mustafa. Yeah. If you look that up, it'll pop up. You'll see my mug in a little round circle, and subscribe, you know, don't forget to smash that like button. All that good stuff.
That it's is so amazing.
It's so funny having you on here, because it'd be like you coming on to talk about how you do ceiling tiles, and then later be like, oh, I'm Neil Gaiman as well. Yeah. This super interesting whole other thing that we had no idea about. We interviewed you like a year ago,
and we blew it.
We didn't ask the right questions.
Yeah. All you had to do is open Pandora's box, and I won't shut up about it, right?
You know, we call ourselves journalists, but we really missed here. We really missed.
Well, you know, you guys got a great tip from Tony Fleece. I know you're not supposed to reveal sources, but, you know.
Yeah. No, we reveal our sources all the time.
All the time.
That's why we're bad journalists.
Yes. That is amazing, though. I can't believe you have these great comics and also make these amazing action figures. That is so cool. It was so good seeing you again. Looking forward to whatever the next project is, as well as going to check out your YouTube channel now.
Yeah, take care.
Yeah,
man.
Thank you guys so much for having me back. It was great to chat with you again. And I feel like you were in the same like Brady Bunch configuration on my screen as last time, too.
We don't leave, man. We don't leave.
I always have a technical problem and have to leave and then return.
Yes, we stopped the stream and we're just sitting here silently for a week. Have a good night.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
Later, man.
Once again, it is the book. Is called Retroactive. You can check that out now.
Also very cool.
Humanoids, which is also, very cool. Yeah. And you can check out Ibrahim Mustafa, his YouTube channel, which I'm going to check out. That sounds amazing. Yeah. Very exciting. Y'all are. Caverns and Krakens is a podcast hosted by five friends who just want to have fun playing D&D and podcasting. Currently, they're playing a seafaring campaign with a party of oddball characters. And good news, the campaign just kicked off with a new episode premiering this very week. So you can get caught up right now with all the swashbuckling adventures. The adventures are all PG-13 tops, and you can check out Caverns and Krakens now in most podcast apps, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Hi, I'm Dan Smith, the host of Coffee in Space, where I have conversations with authors about the science fiction and fantasy characters we love and the journeys they take. This is the perfect podcast for lovers of space operas, military sci-fi, and magical worlds. In each episode, you'll learn about the characters, their trials, world building, and any science behind the science fiction that makes the story sing, directly from the author. It's a great way to learn more about the books you already love, or find a new book to fall in love with. Head on over to www.coffeeinspacepodcast.com to learn more. Coffee in Space is also available in all major listening apps. Listen to an episode or three today.
And we are going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It's your audience questions. Woo-hoo! And for audience questions, all you got to do is drop a question either in the YouTube comments over in Ask a Question here on Crowdcast. But before we get into that, it looks like Justin's going to do another demonstration of the old Darth and Stormy here.
Who knows? Here's how you do it, though. Here's how you do it, Pete. You got you got the little shot glass.
Okay, that all right. I forgot about the glass on the bottom, and I spilled it all over the counter.
Yeah. Selvin, for a smart person, you're not very smart.
I'm not a smart bartender.
You do the flip and see how it's just in there. Can you see?
Yeah, we can see.
Great. Then you throw a little ginger beer in here. Very good ginger beer. It's the local Jamaican ginger beer from my name. Mm. Goodbye. Oh,
yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Then you put the Aperol on top to add the true Sith force. Mm-hmm.
And now you're evil. Congratulations.
And now do a
slow pull so people can see the service tension.
Do the slow pull.
Slow pull.
Dun, 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 dun. That's not the right song.
Were you getting married?
Ooh, there we go. I definitely got to marry that drink. It's a good drink.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's your second one. Take it easy.
Good that's drink. A spicy meatball, I always say. Pete, what are you drinking today?
Put that on TikTok. We got the new shit here.
Oh, man. You're on the TikTok.
We should put it up. That should be our first video on the Comic Book Club TikTok.
We have one?
We do.
Oh yeah. That's definitely.
I never put anything up because Pete, you were like, God, we shouldn't do that. We're too old for that.
No, guys, TikTok same as everything. I promise. It's never.
Oh, boy.
We're already in the right camera formation. Like, it's perfect.
Yeah. Pete, what are you drinking?
Formation. Oh, I'm drinking a little vodka and some Gatorade lemon lime.
Nice. A classic. Absolutely. Well, cool. Let's get to some questions here.
I have some questions.
Well, I think the first question here is going to... These questions are going to tie into your questions, okay, Pete. Good. All right? So I think they'll cue you up. If you have any additional ones afterwards, definitely, let me and Justin know. This is from Stray Bullet. We heard how Alex would write the Moon Knight series, and we got the poignant view of our resident line producer. So I'd like to feel redeemed in my love for Moon Knight and hear what Pete LePage thinks of the show's ending and what he thinks of his co-host's opinions on the topic. Stray Bullet here is, of course, talking about...
Trying to get us to fight is what's happening.
Exactly. Yes, Stray Bullet, did you write this question for Stray Bullet, Pete? Because I wouldn't put it past you to do that.
On our Marvel Vision podcast, we recapped all six episodes of Moon Knight. Those were up, but Pete was out of town, so we didn't get a chance to hear your opinion the finale. While I run out and plug my computer in, because I forgot to do that before the show, and my computer's about to die, Pete, take it away.
Oh, great. Wow, this is fun. So last app, we got, giant monster fighting giant monster. Mm-hmm. Big kind of a reveal at the end. I thought this was just like, plus also.
You found it to be a little bloated and it sort of collapsed.
Shut the fuck up. I'm talking. Shut the fuck up. You did a whole thing. So like, we got an Egyptian superhero moment where a little girl was like, are you a superhero? And she got to be like, hell yes. What's not to love? There was action. there was excitement. There were giant monsters fighting each other. By the end of it, I was like, wait, how is he? But if he's there and Khonshu's in the suit, like, how does that even, I don't, it was just like, you know, just kind of like, oh shit, this is going to be crazy. Yeah, I mean, it was interesting because, like, when they had the moment that kind of spoiled all, where they were like, all right, do we shoot the bad guy or don't we? They kind of, like, just only asked, like, kind of one of the personalities. And I was kind of surprised that, like, all of them would be along for this ride, especially since all they sacrificed along the way and all the people that died. So, like, I was really happy with the outcome. And I was kind of amazed at not only the, like, creativity of, like, whole, what an adventure. Like, I've been reading Moon Knight forever, and I've, like, this took so many kind of, like, amazing turns and added some new characters that kind of, like, I'm very excited to see how they're going to play out. So I was very impressed with the choices being made, and the fact that we're getting kind of, like, this cool character with kind of Mark, and I'm gonna see, like, how they team up and what happens with them. But what did you guys think?
Well, for a counterpoint, you can go to the Marvel Vision podcast and listen to that there. I think, just to sum up, and Justin, feel free to jump in, I think we were probably a little more mixed about it. To be generous, is that generous? Too generous?
You didn't think alligator was badass?
We did talk about how the alligator was indeed badass.
The alligator was badass, and I think the other big up that we gave to the show is Oscar Isaac was great in it, and the whole cast was great. I think I had some issues.
And the hippo, like, coming through at the last second with the boat move?
I thought that was great.
I love the way the hippo captained the boat.
Yes. One addendum we could probably do on the podcast, one issue that we had, we talked a little bit about how she got hippo powers and then turned into a falcon, which was a little weird. It got weirder when
got what powers and then turned into a
she got hippo powers. She got hippo powers. Layla got hippo.
She
became the avatar of Towerette.
Oh, really? I didn't even put that together.
Yeah, yeah.
She became a winged hippo avatar.
Right. But then we found out later that it wasn't a winged hippo. It was actually, she is a hero known as the Scarlet Scarab.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that she also doesn't look like a scarab and she doesn't seem to be wearing any scarlet.
Wait. Go fuck yourself. The scarab that was kind of floating, give us the direction, had wings and was like in that gold kind of thing. So she took that same thing and put it to her outfit.
That's like comparing the wings of an airplane and the wings of Namor the Submariner. They're different.
No, they're the same color.
Her wings were feathers.
Very similar.
Was she scarlet, Pete? Was she scarlet?
Do you mean red?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Was she red? No, okay. Yeah, they took a name of an old Egyptian superhero from Marvel Comics that most people have forgotten. I think actually a couple of people on our Patreon Slack did remember that hero. So they took that name, but it was definitely like something that they didn't mention in the show. So that was a little weird.
Egyptian superhero, check. Yes, please.
It's cool. No,
that's great. That's great.
Yeah, that is great.
Yeah.
So,
for more, listen to the Marvel Vision. I don't want to get into a big fight about this because
we just had slightly different opinions, and I think that's fine.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you like the monster fight?
Yes. Especially like that one point where Mark's down on the ground and Hero's about to kill him. Mm-hmm. And he looks up and sees the monster fight. That was cool.
Yeah. That was fun. There was fun visuals throughout. Like, I think the other thing I believe I mentioned on the podcast is, despite my reservations about the plot and how some things were executed, visually there were always interesting things in terms of the direction throughout the show. So, not my favorite Marvel show, but they're all fine.
We even got the white limo at the end. You know what I mean? Like that
the famous Moon Knight limo.
Yeah.
But you've been
Sorry. I thought you were talking about what I took to my prom.
Exactly.
The famous white limo I took to my prom.
It was. All right. What was it like riding in that by yourself the whole?
Oh my God. It was spacious. Just stretched out the entire time. This is nuts. They had two bottles of water that I only had to pay a little bit extra for.
Nice. Worth it.
It was great.
It's fun.
Yeah, I there was one point, Pete will appreciate this, when I was riding, I was like almost to the high school during the 5-minute ride, which I paid several thousand dollars for. And I said out loud to the driver, "First time in a limo, Mr. Glackwitz," but he didn't hear me because he already had the thing up.
Yeah, he was like, "I don't need to hear that joke again."
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with you, Alex. Limos, no fun. They're like a stretched out car and it's too long. Most limos too long.
Anytime, like, you're sitting the wrong way. You know, you're sitting on the side. It's weird. You feel like you're, I don't know,
sweaty. Like. I went to the prom in a helicopter, just like Theo Huxtable.
Nice, Pete. What did you take to the prom?
A bunch of us piled into a van.
Yeah.
Gave out candy to kids as you went. There we go. All right, we got a question here. Well,
as long as we don't have another Marvel property to review, or we might disagree, I think we'll.
Yeah, we'll see what happens later. This is unrelated, though. This is from Jaron Townsend, excuse me, over on YouTube. Did you guys read any Free Comic Book Day books? I read the TMNT and Bone Orchard Mythos. I'm very excited for Bone Orchard, but the TMNT comic really made me want to read the Eastman and Laird stuff. Now, without spoiling anything too much, we are going to be talking about a bunch of the Marvel and DC Free Comic Book Day books in the Stack podcast this week. But did you guys get to do anything with Free Comic Book Day? Did you pick anything up?
I observed it quietly.
Oh, wow. You observed the day?
Well, so, I mean, I think just to talk it down, I'm guessing. So you had COVID.
Yep.
I thought maybe I had COVID. And yep. Pete, you were out of town for a work trip, so yeah, I don't think we did much for Free Comic Book Day. Yeah.
I thought but it was COVID half day, and
we did read some free comics for the Stack podcast.
Yes, we did do that, and my kids went with my wife to two of the different Galaxy comics here in Brooklyn and picked some stuff up. I didn't get a chance to read it yet, but I am excited. They released I think it's a selection from the Clementine graphic novel, the character from Telltale Games' Walking Dead, which is the best Walking Dead thing. So they have a new graphic novel involving Clementine. I have that sitting on my desk. I just haven't had a chance to read it yet, but very excited about that. We'll talk about some of the DC Marvel stuff as well.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I'll also mention that, for the Bone Orchard thing, we have Jeff Lemire and Andrea Sorrentino are going to be on the show in a couple of weeks.
Very fun.
But I'm glad that person mentioned the, I'm going to check out that TMNT book. I don't like it when a turtle's property gets by me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you do love being a turtle. So there is that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Here we got a non-controversial question from Pablo D. Martinez. Actually, I'm going to censor a little bit because this is spoilery. I love Multiverse of Madness. It's a great movie. What did people expect it will be? Blank. Here we go. Just thoughts? We'll cut to the thoughts part. There we go. I'll skip that one sentence there. So spoiler talk for Doctor Strange and In the Multiverse of Madness. If you don't want to hear it, check out now for the next 5-10 minutes, something like that. We'll see what happens. Once again, you can go to the Marvel Vision podcast where Justin and I talked about it. I know for an hour about the movie.
Just the two of us.
It was a nice
time. Just the two of us.
But Pete, what did you think about the movie?
Well, I mean, this was Sam Raimi turned up to 11. So
I said almost the same thing.
I was like,
you
hey,
guys are crazy.
I'm going to watch me some, old school, just to get ready. You know what I mean? Just to kind of go back and explore. And, then I was just kind of rewarded with all these immediate Easter eggs. So it was really like directed by Sam Raimi, but it was also like, hey, you want Sam Raimi? We got you. You know, we're going to make this the most Sam Raimi. And you got rewarded with maybe the best cape Sam Raimi could ever, that cowl made
cloak.
Out of
cloak.
Sorry, yeah, cloak. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was the whole thing. so like the fact that like it was like, you know, the best of Army of Darkness and Evil Dead kind of, but in the Marvel universe, it was like, hey, Sam, you want to play with all of our Marvel toys? Would I? Can I just kind of do what I want? And they were like, yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, Doctor Strange can be zombified. And, you know, like you can, yeah, we'll even give you. Yeah, it was just, I was like surprised how much fun I was having. And then it was like, you know, it really like gut punched you in horror ways. Like it was a very horror kind of like situation. And like the audience was really, you know, packed theater was great to see it in and be like, you know, we got to see the cameos when we got the, you know, the reveal of like Mr. Fantastic.
The Illuminati?
Yeah, exactly. So it was just kind of like, oh shit. And then to have to watch them die in front of us was another like, oh shit moment. So it was a real emotional roller coaster. But seeing like Black Bolt's power taken away and then the back of his head get blown out was bananas. And oh, Peggy Carter. I mean, oh my God. I mean, it was just such an amazing thing seeing her. And I got like emotional when she was like, I said it with her. I was like, I can do this all day. It was such a great moment. Oh,
but I mean, man, she was a highlight of the movie.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And, but so man, good. When they like, you saw it coming and then, oh, I'm glad they didn't show it. I don't think I could have taken it. Like, I'm glad that what they did with it was tasteful, but man, just unbelievable movie, a ton of fun, and you know, even that ending thing was hysterical. You know, like the after credits kind of little thing of like, you know, it's over. It was just such a fun. So I feel like even if you weren't having fun, you were kind of with that character of like, oh, this is over. So but man, I just thought it was like, hey, kid, you like Sam Raimi movies? You want to see some like fucking crazy shit? Well, guess what? Right this way. Here's your, you know, take your ticket and fucking go have some fun because this is going to be a horror movie and a cameo festival and just like.
Real quick, in that scenario you just laid out, are you the creepy guy out front saying,
hey, kid, come on in.
Just to check, when you were saying you all piled into a van to go to prom, that was actually to go see Doctor Strange 2, right?
Right, yeah. It was a Scooby-Doo situation.
I'm glad you liked it so much, Pete. I also liked it. A lot of people very negative about this movie.
Interesting to me is it was
so
like,
weird. So weird that people are so negative.
WandaVision? Did you see WandaVision? Because this is just that continued and like spun out in this way.
But you didn't like WandaVision, right? Or am I wrong about that?
Well, I didn't like that first episode when it was like, oh my God.
But, a sitcom?
No. You remember that when it got real weird and they were all just sitting there looking at each other and it got like,
yeah. Real, it's like if we just stopped and we were just looking at each other.
Yeah, exactly. Someone's got to talk. Otherwise, I'll lose my mind. So anyways, yeah, I had a great time. You know, it was
right through that.
I was good to see it with a good audience. Like everybody was into it. Everybody was having fun. The Illuminati got some reactions of, I think, maybe non-comic book fans being like, wait, what is going on?
I saw it at 8:30 on a Saturday morning at an Alamo Draft House in Brooklyn.
In the morning.
And people, when John Krasinski came on screen, the amount of smirks you could hear just quietly forming at the corner of everyone's mouth.
Everybody's looking at their camera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a lot of office reaction.
I went out right after the movie, and I had myself a big plate of blue spaghetti.
Wow.
Right?
Nice. Gotcha.
Yeah. Cool. You got it? Yeah,
there I got
you
go. It.
Right. Nice.
Is that an office reference?
What?
Is that an Office reference?
No, that's a reference to Mr. Fantastic gets turned into blue spaghetti.
Oh, yeah, that was.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I thought it was all right. I had fun.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's all.
Cool.
Yeah. For more, check out the Marvel Vision podcast. I was live in your feeds.
I was happy how much Scarlet Witch we got. I thought that was really cool. I wanted more Wong, but that was, Wong was great. Wong is just so awesome. I can't wait for Wong's movie, man. It's going to be amazing. But the whole respect thing And then when he finally bowed, was just great. It was nice to see him do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I wanted a little more from it, but I'm glad people are enjoying it, and that's great to hear. Why don't
you wanted more for a like just like what more did you want? Did you want more?
To be perfectly honest, cast? I felt like it was, and I felt like it was Sam Raimi turned down to seven. You know, like I love Sam Raimi movies.
Yeah.
We talked about this a bit on the podcast, but my big takeaway is that it was like people kept coming out and being like, this is a real horror film in the MCU. This is so scary. And my big takeaway is like, no, it's him using his horror film techniques really well to do some fun stuff throughout. And I really enjoyed that a lot. But like, I would have loved to see a legit, actual, scary horror movie.
Yeah, but
in
it
MCU.
Delivered.
But I'm saying like, it's not Evil Dead, it's not Army of Darkness, it's not Drag Me to Hell or anything like that. And it's fine that it is what it is.
It's like Drag Me to Heck.
Yes, exactly. That actually is a very good way to put it. Where, like, it's using that stuff for fun effect, but if I want to see something legit scary, I'd go maybe watch one of those other movies. That's
yeah,
all.
But it can't be legit scary would not be fun. Like, why it not? Walked the line. It walked the line really well. Also, like, they did the classic, you know, acting trope that if you have an evil version of yourself, you bury it and then later resurrect it and use mm-hmm. it as a puppet to kind of, you know, get what you need. I thought that was just, you know, the classic, you know.
Yeah, totally. Role. They yeah. did that in Braveheart, right?
What is it, Justin? It's the gun rule, or if you use if you you set Chekhov's. Up a gun, there you go. Chekhov's gun.
Chekhov's gun.
Yeah. There you go. That was from Star Trek, right? Chekhov's gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great.
What are the coordinates? Is what he used to say.
Why don't we move on? Get to another question here. This is from Kevin. What are your favorite explorations of family dynamics in comics? Oh, gosh, I would say Fantastic Four. What about
I mean, Fantastic Four is a hard one to move past. But I do think if we want to talk found family, I would throw out the Bat family, especially.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Scott Snyder-y time. I feel like he was really leaning into that, the family portion of it.
Also the recent stuff that we did where it was coming out every week did a great job with the family stuff.
Yeah, with the Arkham Tower.
Yeah.
It was very good as well. The Royal Flush Gang, I think, is sort of a family.
Classic. I love watching them. Whenever they come out, I'm like, I want to know more about these characters and spend more time with them. I'll throw out to you the future version of Peter Parker and Mary Jane who have, is it May Parker is their kid who becomes Spider-Girl? Mm-hmm. That's great. Like, that was a really good... I'm not usually into these alternate future timelines or anything like that, but that one really works, and that title was really good as well, so big fan of that.
We throw out Runaways as well, another great sort of found family that always stick together, fight plenty, and still take care of
each other. Of course, Eastman and Laird's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you know? Mm-hmm.
And Punisher's relationship with his family, right?
in a way, if you want to talk about how families can break you, and
wow, yeah. You never mean he and Microchip, the ultimate family dynamic,
him, Microchip, and their van, the ultimate family dynamic.
That's all you need,
exactly. And that's all we need for your audience questions. Thank you, everybody, for those. We're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Yeah.
All right. This is the part we give to you, the lovely audience. Are we doing a...
We're going to call out to the audience here. If anybody wants to come in and win a $25 gift card, just say me, or whatever you want in the comments here on Crowdcast. If we don't get anybody here, we'll go over to YouTube. You can do the same thing there. Just raise your hand. There's just a little bit of a delay is all I'm going to say
There's
about
just
that.
A little bit of a delay.
It's a bit of a delay. But who would like a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics? If not, we'll have to suck it up and donate to charity again, I guess.
Oh, man. That was actually pretty cool what we did last time.
Yeah. Hey, Pablo wants to steal from charity. Let's bring him in. All right. Here we go. Is that a good way of framing that up?
Oh, Alex.
Classic Zelda. Here we go. Today's trivia's on topical.
Hold on. Wait for Pablo. Wait for Pablo to come in.
Well, I'm trying to kill some time while we're waiting for Pablo to come in.
Oh, okay.
All right.
What's your favorite thing about Pablo? Let's go around. Pete, what's your favorite thing about Pablo?
He always says what's up when he first enters the room.
Oh. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Back when we were doing the live show, he always had a question. A reliable question asker. That's a great
question. I'll say, I've said this before on the show, but he really reminds me of the guy who says, hello, passengers, on the bus. So every time I get on the bus, I think of Pablo.
About to see. Pablo, if you could still hear us before you come in, can you start with hello, passengers, when you say
hello, passengers?
Oh, my God. Yes. One for one. It's one for it's exact.
And he's out.
And he's out. There you go.
Great. So today's trivia is.
Oh, and now Pete froze.
Pete froze. Man.
No.
That's okay. We have a backup in place because we are really planned for this show and we know what we're doing. So, yeah. Alex, just go ahead and ask the trivia questions that Pete no doubt forwarded to you.
No problem. Before we do, why don't we go around and say what's your favorite thing about the guy who does the announcements on the bus in New York City? I'll start. Yeah. He reminds me of Pablo.
Oh, man, that was going to be my answer. I like you guys. Press the button if you want to signal for a stop.
Yeah.
Next up.
Great. Should I kick Pete out and bring him back in again, or what should we do here?
No, I would never. Look at that. He's smiling. He's a nice beautiful Pete.
Oh, right, man. Right. That's a good image there. I just don't know why his camera froze.
Shout out to.
Oh, there again. Oh, okay.
Ibrahim, do you want to talk about what action figure you would make if you could design one? While Pete's reconnecting?
I don't know. Maybe the thing, maybe? It looks complicated.
Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah, that's a good one. A lot of rocks there. If you take a pile of rocks and put them together, that'll
Yes. Maybe Colossus.
Colossus, another good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I used to do that, though. Did you guys ever do that? Like, they didn't sell Fantastic Four action figures when I was a kid. And like Ibrahim, I had to create my own. So I got on the art. I get a pile of rocks. I put that together. I take some spaghetti, throw it on the ground. That was Mr. Fantastic. I'd set something on fire for the Human Torch. And then for Invisible Woman, there was just nothing there.
Nice.
Wow. Jeez.
What an imagination.
Creativity.
Oh, you're the bad kid from Toy Story 1?
Oh, no.
Sid?
Sid?
I'm Sid? Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Pete is accepting and connecting. We could certainly do some trivia with you if you want.
Sure.
Pablo. Look, Pablo's like, I'd rather wait for Pete, honestly. Your guy's half-baked trivia is not that thing.
Half-baked.
Yeah, my trivia is based on I'm looking at CBR right now. I could just read off some headlines to you.
Oh, you're going to do topical comic news?
Yeah, we're going to do topical comic news with a tribute to probably, I assume he was going to do George Perez, right? He has to be doing George Perez.
Let's Pete? See. Don't muddy the waters.
You're back.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Take it away, Pete, before you get cut off again.
Oops. All right, great. Today's trivia is on topical comic news and a small nod to the legend George Perez, RIP.
Yeah.
Please listen to all three options before making your selection. Here we go. Question number one. Pablo, what actor is developing a comic called Head Wound Sparrow? Is it A, Ryan Phillip, B, Oscar Isaac, or is it C, Ray Eddy? So it's either A, don't pick it, or it's B, Oscar Isaac.
Moon Knight himself. It's B.
That is correct.
Nice.
Here we go. Question number two. TMNT creator Kevin Eastman is coming out with a comic for Marvel about what character? Is it A, Danny Rand, B, Elektra, or is it C, Danny Mann? So it's either A, which is incorrect, or it's B, Elektra.
That's got to be Elektra. B.
You are correct. All right, here we go. Last
nice.
One. Action Comics Annual 2022 is telling the story for the first time, the origin story of who? Is it A, Gary the Ratledge, B, Mongol, or C, Barry Ratcliffe? So it's either A, which is something I just made up, or it's B, Mongol.
Mongo.
You are correct.
Yes.
Pablo,
congratulations.
You've done it again.
Pablo, you've won $25 to Midtown Comics. We will get you a gift card. In the meantime, though, have you guessed what Pete is referring to with his third answers?
It is the 2013 hit Legend of the Red Reaper.
Ooh, I've never seen that movie.
Is Does he act in it?
That is correct.
Wow. Let's check it out. Yeah. That's awesome. Pablo, thank you so much for coming on. I'll see you on the bus.
Goodbye, passengers.
Pablo, great seeing you, Pablo.
Goodbye, passengers. All right. As we all know, comic books are coming out all the time this week. And in fact, they came out this previous weekend, as we talked about. But what are you guys looking forward to?
Oh,
Pete?
I'm looking forward to Superman, Son of Kal-El, number 11.
I was going
to
pick that.
As well as Seven Secrets, number 17.
Really?
Justin, what about you?
I mean, Superman, Son of Kal-El is just a great book with a ton of heart and a real great exploration of these of characters. There's a great scene between Batman and Superman's dad that is really awesome. And then I want to also shout out 8 Billion Genies, number 1, from Image Comics by Charles Soule. And Ryan Brown, really fun premise. Charles Soule hasn't had a lot of time.
You shouldn't name so many. You make it really hard on Alex.
I know. I like to. We all share a brain, basically. So really fun book. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, I'm going to give a shout out. Everybody knows I'm the number one Daniel Warren Johnson fan on the podcast. So I'm going to give a shout out to the Jurassic League, which is DC Comics set back in dinosaur times. I'm very interested to check
Come
out.
Come on!
He's not doing the art on this one. That's Juan Gideon, I believe. But Daniel Warren Johnson on it. And as the hugest fan of the three of us, I can't not give that a shout out. And all of those are going to be on our Stack podcast, which rolls out Wednesday, 9 a.m., both in the Comic Book Club feed and in its own dedicated Stack feed. And folks, that is it for this week's show. A couple of people we want to thank.
Pablo.
Serena Sanchez. Check out Black Rhapsody on Indiegogo right now. Also, Ibrahim Mustafa. Check out Retroactive from Humanoids, which is out now. And also his YouTube channel.
Yeah, more importantly, his YouTube channel.
Both. Check out both.
Next week on the show, Sean Dicker is going to be here to talk about Uncovered Grave, and Samuel Satine is going to be here to talk about the reboot of Osamu Tezuka's Unico, which should be very interesting to chat about. Also, the Doom Room, our Doom Patrol podcast, is currently running in its own dedicated feed, or you can get all 34 episodes right now by subscribing on Patreon. Riverdale After Dark, a Riverdale podcast, comes on after that show airs on Sundays. Marvel Vision, we're just wrapping up Moon Knight, but we are revving up a couple of other things and going to roll into Miss Marvel next month, so keep it tuned there. Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support the show and all the shows we do. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice. At Comic Book Live on Twitter, Comic Book Club Live on Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, good night.
Take care, everybody.
Dark and stormy, folks. Good night.